Is every heart clear this morning? Song, go right ahead, sister. Songwriter penned those words for us to live by, I believe, that through it all we can depend on the Lord. He is faithful. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, time just keeps slipping by us so quickly, doesn't it? Thanksgiving Day is just a few days away. It's incredible how quickly each year seems to go by. Younger people don't understand it as much, and I didn't understand it when older people would talk about how fast time flew either, but every year it seems like it's a little faster than it was the year before. And it just doesn't seem like it's been that long since we were worried about Y2K. And now we're looking at a decade past, practically. The big stories that were swarming us about Y2K, what all was going to take place and how the world was going to end. Now I guess they've established that 2012, sometime in December of 2012, is going to be the end of it all. I don't know how many of you have heard of that and the talk of going on, that's going on about it, but God knows what He's doing and when He's going to allow the trumpets to sound, and all of that end time stuff is going to take place. We're just supposed to live the way He wants us to live and be ready for that time when He appears. It means that Thanksgiving is upon us. Some people probably come to church on a Sunday morning prior to Thanksgiving thinking they're going to hear, you know, the same old on Thanksgiving message of some sort. But my mind has gone a completely different direction, though I try to be mindful of the seasons and special days and all of that. I just didn't feel like that was the direction that I ought to go this morning. As a matter of fact, something that was said in one of our services just recently, I think it was on a Wednesday night, just a couple of weeks ago, two Wednesday nights ago, three Wednesday nights ago, I don't recall. But, and I'm not wanting to lift this person up on a pedestal, and I'm not wanting to criticize or critique them either, in any way, either side. It's just a statement that was made that stuck in my mind and made my mind wander. Just go down this direction and that direction and the other direction. Some of you may not know when I make the statement or the quote. You may not remember it. You may not have been here to hear it. But Miriam was testifying about speaking to somebody at the hospital that would be at the bottom of the list of someone that you'd want to speak to about their soul or about God. And at the end of her story, her little incident that she was referring to that night in service, she said these words, "I heard the voice of God today." That still sends a tingle up and down my spine. I heard the voice of God today. How long has it been? Now, the voice that she heard was God speaking to her and say, "You need to speak to that person." What is it? How is it with us? Have you heard the voice of... Have I heard the voice of God lately? That I could say at the end just as assuredly as she did, I heard the voice of God today. Those words really caught my attention. And as I said, my mind was taken in various directions. I suppose all of us, we all long to hear His voice. We long to hear His voice in so many areas of our lives. We'd like for Him just to break through all the clutter and the noise that's around us and talk to us about the big decisions that are before us on a daily basis or a weekly basis. We want to hear God's voice when it comes to the decisions that we have to make. We all long to hear God's voice speak to us in the low times of our lives, when it seems like the ceiling to heaven above us is brass and we can't get a prayer through. When it seems like all of the world's troubles are piling in upon us. When it rains, it pours. We want to hear God speak to us in those times. We want some sunshine to shine through in the midst of the rainy days, the spiritual rainy days, or the emotional rainy days, or financial rainy days. When the mind is being bombarded by Satan, we want to hear God's voice. We want to hear God speak to us. And so when we are looking to hear God speak to us in the decisions of our lives, the big decisions of our lives, and in the midst of the low times of our lives, and when we face the issues of life, we want to hear God speak to us. And sometimes when we want to hear Him speak to us so badly that we will search. We will search for somebody who can claim that they heard God's voice in the midst of those very same times in their lives. We want to hear what they have to say that God spoke to them about. Simply because we want to hear God's voice on the matters that concern us. We are hungry, eager, desirous to have somebody who knows all there is to know about our circumstances and the tomorrows to be able to tell us some things, to reassure us of some things. I heard the voice of God today. What a powerful statement. One of the directions that my mind was taken in was back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know the story quite well, I'm sure. Those dark days in Israel in Samuel chapter 1, Eli was the priest. Things weren't really going the way that they ought to have gone, the way that they could have gone. As a matter of fact, if you would read this entire story, you'll find that it's during the days of Eli that Ichabod was born. And they wrote it across the door, as it were, the presence of God has departed. It was sad days in Israel during this time. And it was very dark in the first chapter of Samuel. And you'll find that the scene is there that, at least in a portion of this chapter, there's a scene there where a woman goes into the temple to pray and her heart is breaking. Her heart is torn. Her heart is actually crushed. And she's praying, and the priest, the man of God, as it were, is so far darkened by whatever's going on in the lives of the children of Israel that he thinks this woman who is having some spiritual travail is a drunken woman. I don't understand how that could be, that the accusation would be as she just simply was moving her lips and crying out in her heart to God for some answer that was very, very dear to her. And he thinks it's drunkenness. And she begs that he not accuse her of being a daughter of Belial, but my heart is breaking. And I'm pouring out my petition to God. It's one of the low times of Israel. It's a low time in the life of this woman named Hannah. You'll find as the story progresses that the answer to that heart travail comes, and it concludes in the birth of a son. And that son that was born to Hannah that she was so desirous of, and she was in spiritual and in emotional travail, wanting to have a child. And so when the child was born, she gave that child to the ministry at a very early age. Beautiful picture, heartrending, I'm sure, to many mothers and perhaps to many of us fathers as well, to think of having a child, a son, and then turning them over to the ministry, as it were, in that scenario or in that day, leaving them at the temple, going home without them at such an early age. That son lived and grew to be a man under the watchful eye of Eli. Such a concerned man, wasn't he? Samuel grew up under Eli, who didn't know how to correct his own children. Not quite the scenario that I want my kids to be brought up in. But there's something about Samuel. Surely it had to have come, and I'm digressing here a little bit, but surely the thing that held Samuel would have to go back to the training that his mother gave him and the prayer that Hannah originally prayed for him. God had his hand on Samuel. Yet again, as that story unfolds a little bit further, we'll find that one night as Samuel pillowed his head to go to sleep, perhaps he had already fallen asleep and he heard a voice call him and called him by name, Samuel. And so Samuel, just being what he knew that he should be, he jumped up and said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli's room and said, "What is it, sir? You've called for me." And Eli was aroused out of his sleep and said, "I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." And so that happens three times. And on the third time, somehow, I kind of think it in my mind that Eli recalls better days. And he tells the lad, "If the voice calls you again, don't come running to me. Just answer the voice and say, 'Here am I, Lord. Your servant's listening.'" I somehow think that Eli had remembered better days at that point. And so God calls again to Samuel and speaks to Samuel. Samuel could really attest to it when he woke up that next morning. He could say, "I heard the voice of God last night." God spoke to him. God told him about some future things that were going to take place. Imagine it made the young boy's knees quiver. Imagine it made him very uneasy to face Eli. What a beautiful story of the voice of God speaking, even if it were to just a young lad. Surely Samuel heard God's voice because he was able to tell of future things and soon realize that they came to pass. Wouldn't we all be taken in by that? Wouldn't we all be taken in by that God spoke to somebody about future events and those things came to pass? We'd kind of raise our eyebrows every time we were around him. We'd walk on holy ground every time we stepped close by. Because here were some things that took place that nobody could have figured out on their own. A lot of things that nobody can figure out on our own, sometimes it just takes a little bit of common sense. Sometimes it just takes common sense. You know, there's some things that I can predict just based on experience. How did you figure that one out? I was born at night, perhaps, but it wasn't last night. Some things are just common sense to some people. It doesn't mean that God spoke. Now, in this case, in Samuel's case, it does mean that God spoke to him, but it doesn't mean that in every case. my wife and I dated for almost 4 years in Bible college, and you know, people would say, oh, you are going to get married. Well, sure enough, we did. So I need to go back to all those people. How did you know that? How did you figure that out? Well, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of common sense. It's not a rocket science figure here to understand that, you know, after 4 years of dating, seriousness sets in somewhere along the line, and it's just destination. You say, where are you going with this? Well, we hear a lot of people tell us, that they are on the path, that they are serving God, that they are the ones to be listened to, that they have the answers from heaven. I've known some people that have some tremendous, I'm talking incredible devotional lives. And I'm not knocking the importance of devotional lives. You know, they go through all kinds of things in the midst of their devotional, their spiritual devotional life. They read a certain number of verses, or they mark them all off, and they read through the Bible every year, or maybe twice a year if they spend that much time, or every 2 years, or every 5 years. They really spend time over those 5 years doing some in-depth study, and they have their devotional books, and they have their commentaries, and they have their hymn books, and they have all of the stuff that goes into having a phenomenal devotional life. And I'm not knocking any one of these areas, any one of these issues. If you do it, blessings, spiritual benefit is yours by doing it with incredible devotion. That's good. But that in itself does not guarantee that that person hears the voice of God. You'll find that some people in the midst of their devotional life will be able to tell you that they get such great blessing on a daily basis from all of those devotional stories that they read and the tingly feelings that come from the reading of those stories. And so they equate that with the presence of God, or they equate that with the voice of God speaking to them through the stories. And so because of somebody else's experiences, they then are able to draw and how true that is. Often that is the case. You can glean from other people's experiences, glean blessing, glean help, glean insight or direction for your particular life at times. But that in itself does not guarantee that that person has heard from God or heard the voice of God this particular day. Some people have such incredible family devotions. I don't know a whole lot about all of these great, big, incredible family devotion scenarios that are around. When, in my growing up years, living in the parsonage, and now raising my children in the parsonage, it's strange occurrences go on about the time most people would say and designate it's devotions, family devotions time. But there's some people that are so incredibly dedicated to the family devotional life that there is nothing that interferes. There's nothing that they will allow to come in place of. There's nothing that will take away from that time. You say, well, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way you have to have it. That sounds good. I appreciate you doing that. And again, I'm not knocking it. They sing, they read, they study, they pray. It's an incredible regiment that they take their children through from an early age. early age, an incredible. It was way over their head, perhaps, at an early age, but they were developing and they were building. And to sit and listen, and I have a particular family in my mind when I'm talking about this. Not somebody here. If I were to mention the name might ring a bell. You might have an acquaintance somewhere along the line that touches this particular family. Some of you know them, have met them personally. They're a long ways away from here, so you don't have any clue who I'm talking about. But I tell you, to sit and listen to them talk about their family devotions and what they were doing in their family devotions with their children and all of that that was going on in that particular family, it was mind-boggling to me. I sat somewhat in awe as I listened to all that they did. The dedication that this family had to the spiritual lives or the emotional high of their family and the church family. He was a pastor. And he would strive very earnestly through the week for the family, and he would strive very earnestly through the week for the church services on Sunday. He would do everything that he could possibly think of to do and try to accomplish in order to have that emotional high to keep the people coming back and to keep them encouraged through the week. It was a tremendous and exciting thing to sit and listen to them talk. But I remember going to the funeral of the lady's grandfather, as her husband was the speaker. He was the preacher there at that particular funeral, and she sat on the front seat. The only way I know how to describe it is, and it's probably a poor description in your book, but I've seen a host of prostitutes walking the streets of Evansville that were much more modest than she was as a preacher's wife. Her daddy had to have been mortified as he was there and saw the way that she was dressed. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm saying that all of this stuff in and of itself that they do in their spiritual endeavors or their devotional endeavors does not in and of itself prove that they have heard the voice of God today. Someone might be sitting here this morning saying in their mind and wanting to question me, but don't think that they ought to, but question me with, why would I criticize someone who has such an obvious spiritual devotion? Such an obvious spiritual devotion that would create such tremendous dedication to religious activities. First of all, I'm not trying to criticize the people. But the Bible has some things to say about who really is hearing the voice of God. And you and I might be taken aside and taken in by certain aspects of people's words and the ways that they live. But you see, God's Word has something to say. People might claim to hear the voice of God. They might even hear the voice of God from time to time. But let's just take a couple of minutes now and listen and hear what God's Word has to say about who hears God's voice today. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking here. And He shares with us an insight as to who has such a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father that they have the opportunity to hear His voice. Though this particular verse that I'm using doesn't say it quite this way, I want you to understand the principle that the verse is trying to portray. Jesus speaking here in verse number 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." You say, well, what is that? That doesn't speak to this particular instance at all. Maybe it doesn't in the outward, in the black and white or the red print of your Bible. But really what he's saying and what he's talking about is such a personal relationship with God that there is that opportunity and that open channel to communicate back and forth, speaking to God and hearing in return. And the key element isn't from somebody's spiritual dedication. The key element is not from their devotional life and how dedicated they are to spiritual activities. The key element is, if my words abide in you and ye abide in me. That's the bottom line. That's what Jesus is telling us. If we flip back a few more books into 1 John chapter number 1, and we memorized these verses from our childhood. We know these verses by heart. But John's giving us a glimpse as well into the person's life who can hear the voice of God. And we all long to hear God's voice. Listen to what John had to say. If ye say that we have fellowship with Him. You know, he's talking about that ability to talk to God and then hear His voice in return. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Amplified says it this way. So if we say we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with Him, then we live... and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth. You know what darkness is, don't you? Look back at the previous verse. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You say, well, what is darkness when it comes to God and light? Darkness is when a person doesn't abide in Him and His words abide in you. When that doesn't take place, that is darkness. In other words, you read the Bible and you see what God has to say to you in particular or to me in particular, and you go from that particular reading out into a life and do exactly opposite of what the Word of God tells you. You are walking in darkness. You are not walking in the light of His Word. We've been talking about modesty issues and such like that on Sunday nights. And if God's Word told us in very clear language that you had to do a certain thing exactly in your dress, and you went out and did not do it just simply an inch off, you're walking in darkness. Somebody told me one time as a new convert, and we were discussing some of these issues that we as conservative holiness people hold dear to us, and we're not willing to trade them for anything. We're not willing to compromise them for anything. And we believe that it's God's Word for us. We believe that that's the way God wants us to live. Well, this new convert was having some struggles with it. The new convert acknowledged that sure enough, this must be the way God wants His people to live. Sure enough, that's the way it ought to be. But then she concluded her little statement by saying, but God hasn't spoken to me yet. You see, the problem with that is God speaks to us through His Word. And when we see His Word telling us some things, it doesn't have to take a voice from God as it spoke to Miriam a couple of weeks ago, or spoke to you on certain issues, or whatever the issue was in your life. That's not what it takes to walk in light. Walking in light means we walk according to His plan that's given to us in His Word. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. You see, there's that channel that's going back and forth. Back and forth. Not just one direction, but back and forth. You see, there's a fellowship there. person, and I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God's voice on a regular basis. I don't want to go like Abraham went for a number of years without hearing his voice. That's frightening to me. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God speak to me when I'm driving the car, or when I'm in the woods, or when I'm in the study, or in church, or in the home, or sitting around a campfire. Whatever I want to be able to hear God's voice speak. I want to hear Him talk. I believe that what that means, what that indicates to us as we've looked at these two short passages of Scripture, that there's a carefulness that we ought to take to our heart to walk in the light of His Word and to live as God would have us live. Well, how careful should it be? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Mark it down. Jesus speaks to this very issue in this verse. And He's not speaking with shaded words. He's not speaking with cloudy metaphors. He's not speaking with some kind of a gray area. He is speaking with clarity to this very issue about who really hears the voice of God. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not had great devotional times? Have we not spent much effort and striven to have spiritual highs in church and in the home and in the family and in the person? Have we not done all of these things and done them in thy name? Now that's a huge out-of-the-way paraphrase, isn't it, if you're following? Maybe you don't have to follow, and you knew right off the bat that I had gone off on a tangent. But I think that's what Jesus is referring to, that they use all kinds of things that they say. Well, I did this because I was your servant. I did this because of you. I did this in your name. But listen to what Jesus had to say. Not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Do you see the clarity there? Just because we profess to call Him Lord, just because we claim to have all of these devotional highs and spiritual highs and spiritual activities, it's not a guarantee that we are hearing the voice of God. And once again, I'm not taking away at all from what Miriam said. Those words struck me, and I believe that that was a very true incident in her life. She could say without a shadow of a doubt at the end of that day that she heard God's voice today. But he that doeth the will of my Father. Those are the ones that hear His voice. Be able to hear the best words of His voice, well done. That is the ultimate. I want to hear His voice. Stand with me this morning, please.